Now, we often hear young adulthood described as the best time of our lives or the perfect time to explore and try out different things. But there's also the pressure to hit the milestones. Get the good job, find your soulmate, discover your true self, take self-defining trips and adventures, just generally pursue a better version of yourself. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you're a young adult, what's your experience been like? Do you feel pressure to be constantly bettering yourself? Do you feel like all those milestones I just mentioned, they seem like they're out of reach and you're falling short? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Rainsford Stafford has written for The New York Times, The Atlantic, and more. Her new book is called An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional. Rainsford, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me this evening.
You share a lot of your story in the book, Rainsford, and you've heard similar things from a lot of people, a lot of other young people around the country that you've talked to. Can you talk about some of the pressures facing the last couple of generations of emerging adults that might not be as familiar to people from a couple few generations ago?
Absolutely. I think something important to point out up front is that it's not necessarily that all of these pressures are fundamentally different. The pressure to go find yourself, to secure financial stability and a sense of security in your life, it's more that the circumstances that we're expecting young people to do all of this in has changed. And both in terms of my own story and the stories of the incredible young people I interview in this book, it kind of boiled down to a sense of never being enough. Wondering when you were going to have worked hard enough or achieved enough or have become enough in your personal life, in your social life, to finally get to kind of exhale and accept, you know, I'm good enough as is. I don't have to keep striving for all of these things. And we know that it's directly connected to shifts that have happened in other parts of our lives, whether they're economic, whether it's social shifts. And so it becomes all of this pressure that piles on that if only you can be your best self, that life is going to turn out okay.
And that's a big point of your book, that there have been these big economic and social changes that just are changing life patterns for better or worse. But then people at an individual level feel like they're failing if they haven't gotten the good job by 30 or married by whatever age or whatever the milestone is.
Exactly. It's so easy to look at your own life and think, wow, this looks nothing like my parents or even my older friends or especially my grandparents. Where have I gone wrong? And that was what I heard from a lot of people I spoke to for this book, feeling that, you know, they'd worked since high school. They felt like they'd tried to make responsible decisions. They were trying to prioritize having a good, fulfilling life. But one of the things that I learned when I was researching this book is that our sociological markers of adulthood have fundamentally shifted over the past 50 or so years. And so previously, those milestones looked like moving out of your parents' house, getting married, having children, finishing school, and entering into a career that had some sort of financial stability. And we know that all of those things have changed. We've even seen it over the past year with the pandemic. They've all kind of changed again. And so it's not that every young person you know is somehow running behind or they're not doing things on time. What it means to be an adult and inner adulthood has shifted.
I want to key on one line you just used there, moving out of your parents' house as the marker of adulthood. And I think there's sort of been a disparaging thing like, oh, still lives with their parents, or, oh, they had to move back in with their parents. Well, they is you, I understand, Rainsford, and a lot of people, especially during the pandemic. I don't know, can you talk about the mixed feelings people have? Yeah, we're supposed to love our families and love our homes, and we're supposed to get out and never come back.
Definitely. That's something that's been a factor in my life, even pre-pandemic. I've been in situations where I've lost a job or had a really bad chronic illness flare-up that left me in the position where I needed to move home. And I'm so fortunate that I even had that as an option. You know, some of the young people I speak to in the chapter on home in this book were experiencing houselessness and housing insecurity and didn't have that as a choice. And so I think that there's this idea that in young adulthood, especially, we need to be independent, we need to be self-reliant, we need to be establishing ourselves and learning to kind of live on our own. And it's certainly not to say that those things aren't true, but I think that we sometimes forget the other half of the messaging, which is, first of all, that someone could move home for all kinds of reasons, whether they're financial, cultural, maybe a family member needs their support. And second of all, you know, we also come into ourselves and develop how to care for ourselves by being in community with other people. It's not a bad thing to need to rely on others, just like it's not a bad thing for them to need to rely on you. And so that's something that came up a lot in conversations I had about home or moving back in with parents, which we know that young adults are doing at record rates. It's not just about what does my life look and feel like as an individual, but kind of how can I be part of a broader family structure or a community. And I think we really need to consider why we look at that as such a moral failure on the part of young adults.
And your book, Rachford, isn't an advice book exactly, but I think one piece of advice that I took away is don't live your life in the after, meaning, and you phrase it something like this, you know, don't think after I get that job or move to the new city or get married or whatever it is, then my life is happy and getting started. How can we change our focus away from those milestones and be happy-ish wherever we are now?
Definitely. And I think this is something that impacts people of all ages and all different points of their lives, because we really do in this society have very clear-cut benchmarks of what we're supposed to achieve and when. And we're kind of obsessed with this idea of being on track, sometimes to the extent that we don't have a ton of space to pause and consider, does this track actually work for me and what I need and the context of my life? And so I think that one of the things we can do to kind of avoid that feeling of living life for the afters is figuring out, as simple as it sounds, what we need right now. What are the resources we need that we don't have? What's fulfilling us outside the scope of our job? Where are we finding joy when things are just terrible at work or we're having a really hard time? I think that if we can kind of reconfigure our focus on how can I take care of myself? How can I take care of others without adding this aspirational component onto it where there's always something better you ought to be doing, we'll hopefully be able to relax a little bit and find more fulfillment along the way.
Talking to Rainsford Staffer about her new book, An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Does some of this sound familiar in your current life? Maybe if you're 20s or 30s, or if you're looking back at your 20s or 30s, were you working toward those milestones? Were they the important things in your life? How did you find out how to be contented with your life? How are you struggling to do that right now? Do you have a question for our guest about her book? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Rainsford Staffer, author of the new book, An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Younger generation, younger folks out there, love to hear from you if you're hearing your own story here. 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Rainsford, apart from the milestones, you write about kind of the continuing pressure to make ourselves better. And that could be watching the TV shows that everybody else is watching so we could talk to them, or having better abs, or learning a new language, like all the ways we can be improving ourselves and optimizing each and every moment. Can you talk about that a little?
You know, I think the thing is that we're never going to run out of ways to make ourselves better in this society. Exactly as you said, it's, you know, keeping up with 15 different social media apps. It's making sure we're watching the latest thing on TV so we know what's going on. It's closely following the news. It's in how we think of our bodies and our homes and even our college degrees or our jobs. And so there's kind of this fixation on what's going to be the next best thing and how is that going to get me to the next best version of myself? What I found when I was reporting this book that I think kind of flips the script on how we normally talk about this is that, you know, the common narrative kind of goes that young people in particular are spoiled. They want the best of everything because they're entitled and they think they deserve it, or because they want to be special. And what I found was that this specialness, or this feeling that you needed to live up to something extraordinary and become this best self, wasn't actually about wanting to be perfect or special at all. It kind of functioned as this stand-in for security and stability that people didn't feel like they were getting in the rest of their lives. You know, it's very easy to think, well, if I'm the perfect employee and I'm the best person at work, or I'm the best person in my college class, maybe I won't get fired and lose my health insurance. So I think there's this trope of, you know, my best life and my best self kind of being superficial concerns. But in regard to the young people I talked to, they felt like that had really tangible material impacts on their day-to-day life.
Another kind of cliche about the 20s and maybe 30s is, you know, figure out who we are and this. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We just had a technical problem behind the scenes here. We were talking to Rainsford Staffer about her book, An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional, hoping we can bring her back for a future conversation. There's a lot more in the book that we can get into. In the meantime, you could share your stories, and if and when we can rebook this conversation, we could share on email ideas@WPR.org the challenges you faced in your 20s and 30s.